from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's here to ease you into bedtime. You know, like the L Train says, but I'm here to make every evening easy like Sunday morning. By, you know, easing, overusing words, that's easy for me. Oh, so easy. But anyway, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And you're the reason I've been able to keep the show going. Those of you that spread the word, those of you that support the show on Patreon, those of you that send me your kindness and support the sponsors, like these sponsors coming up, because this is how we keep the show free for everybody. Hey, everybody, this is just a reminder that this episode was recorded a little while ago, but I wanted you to know that Sleep With Me is here to support you, and you can find links in our show notes, and Sleep With Me is here to support our Black community because Black Lives Matter. You can find links about that also in our show notes, and you can find links of steps and actions you can take, or if you're saying, you don't understand, you can find out more, and you could really take a look at things internally and externally, and slowly, start to become a part of the solution. And all of those links will be in the show notes. So I really wanted you to know that right up front. Thanks. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe. I love my Helix Dusk Luxe. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Luxe, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast that you need you to hear, because it's how we bring this podcast a choice a week for free. And I want to thank Morgan the Labradoodle's dog parent who supported Daily Harvest, put a Daily Harvest order in. And oh boy, if you haven't tried the carrot cinnamon smoothie or the papaya one, get over there and try those two smoothies. The carrot cinnamon smoothie, it's like a drinkable carrot cake. But if you want to be like Morgan the Labradoodle's dog parent and support a sponsor, let them know about it. Tag them in a social media post. Tag me so I can thank you here in the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Particularly these great companies that have been supporting the show right now are long-term sponsors like KiwiCo, Brooklinen, Helix, and Best Fiends. Let me know when you support them so I can try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. That's part one of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Part two is getting the support you need, whether it's for self-care, whether it's for your own mental health, whether you're examining your privilege and trying to make internal and external change to support the Black members of our community and show that Black lives matter, or you're a Black member of our community and you're looking for resources right now. I'm going to have links to a bunch of great organizations in the resources to try and support you wherever you are. And the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. And I support a listener who has started making gifts or GIFs for the show, Ashley Slade Art. And Ashley's been doing a bunch of fundraisers this summer and spring. And one of the ones I was able to support is buying some masks with Ashley's art on them. I'm so proud to wear them around. But I'm even prouder to know that it's part of Ashley's support for LA Food Bank. So you can find out more. There'll be links in the show notes. Ashley Slade Art. I'll have links to Ashley's Instagram. So get some art from a listener and support a good cause. Thanks, Ashley, and thanks, everybody. That is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Posty poster song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And don't forget, if you, a great way to help the podcast is to spread the word if it comes up in natural conversation about podcasts or sleep online or in person. But particularly if you use LinkedIn. I know I don't use LinkedIn myself, but if you do and you're in a conversation there where you see an article about sleep or something, and there's a chance to mention the podcast. Thanks so much. And what do you say? We get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature. So, you know, things on your mind, that's one thing that keeps me up. You know, thoughts that I have about past, present, future, or indeterminate time periods. So thoughts, feelings, anything physical coming up for you or emotionally. Changes in temperature. That happens to me a lot, or it can happen to everybody. You know, you could have, you could be on the road. You could be someone that works, you know, second, third shift. Maybe they've invented at your workplace. It'd be great news, everybody. Gather around. We here at, you know, whatever enterprises have invented a fourth shift. That's even less, you know, so my podcast could help you with that. You say, okay, well, I thought. You see, I'll help you adjust. You know, we'll get the curtains, you get scoots on, and I'll help carry you off into dreamland. It could be something else, but whatever's keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that. I got a safe place set up here, set aside. Can also be instantly delivered to you. Accessible or accessible, whichever you prefer, you know, nuclear, whatever you say, you know, any of those things. It's the podcast, you could have it whenever you need it. It's here for you. And then what I do is I send my voice across the deep, dark night, use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky are my dulcets. You say, well, I'm not sure. How do you describe Scoots's voice? You say, well, it's not like anything I've really heard before. I mean, you've heard it before. And have you ever driven through a bog or within near a bog before? Or you know the sound aging trees make in the wind? I think that was once a what are those things called? Those short poems with syllables in them. Sometimes my brain also blanks out. I say that was part of it. I was going to say a soliloquy, but I almost had it, and then it vanished again from my brain. But yeah, the sound of an aging tree and a strong wind. That's what does creaky dulcet mean to you? I'd say, well, that... It's actually not bad. And the reason I say this, because that's not bad if you're kicking back somewhere and listening to that in the right place. There's other ways you say, okay, well, I'm comfortable. I kind of like the sound of that tree. If I was trying to take the SAT or something, or, you know, concentrate on, you know, I'm not necessarily going to listen to it at that moment. But at bedtime. So I'm going to send my voice, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. You've already got a little taste of those. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. I'm going to use, not only am I going to use filler words, I'll probably get caught up in filler words. But, you know, pauses that are not pregnant with meaning. They're precognition, but they really are. I don't know. It's that, maybe not. They're decognition, or it's like when you're trying to start a thought. So pre-ignition, you say, I wonder if this brain's going to start on me right now. That's what some of the pauses in the podcast say. Like before anybody that's had a car, I mean, this is my experience with a lot of vehicles I've owned. Did you know once upon a time, kids, cars used to start with keys and not buttons? And I guess with the button, it kind of takes out the button. They said the car's manufacturer said, let's give them a little less. We've given them these car drivers way too much control, and they've just run rampant with it, driving around everywhere. So let's just give them a button and see. I wonder if there's someone doing studies of that. But so back when you had a car, and you, if you were in a position like I've been in times, it's like you're not 100% sure your car's going to start before you turn the key. Sometimes you talk to your higher power. Sometimes you mutter, or your lower power or whatever, your base power. That's what I've been in touch with. Holy moly. But a lot of times you just pause there. And that's kind of what it is when I pause in this podcast. I wonder if my brain's actually going to start up with some new thoughts. And I'm always trying to start my brain up and wind it to help you wind down. If you're new, welcome. Thanks for coming by. Sorry it took so long to say hello. Come on in. If you're new and skeptical or doubtful or unsure, that totally makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't you be? Here I am with a person, you know, first of all, you say, you're the first person I met with a brain that needs a key to start it up. And I say, yeah, I got, and believe me, I'm not even sure what kind of starter they gave me. I don't have a button. A lot of people have that, the old button brain, built-in button. You just think of something, poofy poo, it's there. You know, my creaky dulcet tones do sound a bit like a car trying to get started. Because the same thing. See, how many times are you going to talk about this? How many ways can I talk about this analogy? I don't know. So if you're new, here's a couple things to know. If you're skeptical or doubtful, a lot of listeners, I don't even know, like millions, hundreds of thousands, I don't know, came to this show very doubtful too, very skeptical. And probably, like, I don't know what percentage of them headed off that, back off that way. But actually, millions have stayed, too. So they said, hey, like, this podcast, I'm going to give it a second or third try. Suddenly, they said, this is great. This is right what I'm looking for. It's something I don't really have to listen to. It's there for me to listen to. But I don't have to listen to it or engage it with my full attention. It's intended to put me to sleep, but also be barely listened to. And that took me a few tries to, I'm just generalizing what I hear from listeners. It took me a few times to understand that, you know, I could listen to Scoots or I could barely listen to Scoots. It's going to make the same amount of sense. If I try to really listen, though, I'm not sure it'll work. So kind of give it a few tries when you first get here, but realize you don't need to listen. There's also no pressure to fall asleep. I'm here to keep you company, essentially, as you drift off, which is a little different approach than most things. A lot of things are intended to just put you to sleep. Here I am. I'll take your mind off stuff, you know, keep you company, be in the vicinity of your bedside or wherever you're snoozing. And, you know, keep you occupied, just barely. And the reason the episodes are about an hour is so you have plenty of time, or alternatively, if you can't sleep, you got somebody here for you. You say, okay, well, at least I got Scoots to talk to me about some stuff. So that's, so those are a couple of things to know. Other things, if you're new, they can throw a new listener off. I want to give you as many heads up as I can. They always come too late, so the thing is, this podcast does not work for everybody. I said that, structurally, this is definitely, where the show deviates from norm. The show starts off with business. That's really how we keep it free for everybody. You know, it's not free to make or distribute the show, but I want it to be free for anybody that wants it. And we do that between listener support and advertiser support. So, I don't know, that's something I'm actually very proud of, because the people that benefit from the show, help keep it there for anybody else that's not in a position to do that, or that just, you know, that you don't need to. So that's the business, but that's only like about 4 or 5 minutes. Then there's about 18 minutes or so of me just talking, which I think we're about 6 minutes into that, where I just kind of introduce the podcast, and then I get distracted, then I go back to introducing the podcast. We've seen that so far in the last few minutes. Then I'll start talking about something else, then I'll go back to introducing the podcast. And eventually, around 20 minutes or so, the intro will end, and then we'll have some business, and then I'll tell you a bedtime story. So you could skip ahead to 20 minutes. What I would recommend is listening to the podcast a few times to see how it works for you, because most listeners listen to the intro. Some of those listeners are listening as they're getting ready for bed, or some listeners are listening as they're in bed and falling asleep. So some people fall asleep during the intro. But most listeners kind of listen to the intro. That's why it's like 15 to 20 minutes to wind down. Let the day fade away behind you. And just listen to old Scoots Magoots as I make up my own goofy names here to keep you company. And then the show ends with some thank yous. So that's the structure of the show. Podcast you don't need to listen to. No pressure to fall asleep. I make the show because I've been there. I've been there tossing and turning, mind racing, trouble falling asleep, trouble staying asleep, trouble getting up. How about this one? Getting up too early. So here's my situation right now. I say my daughter doesn't have school this week when I'm recording this. So I don't need to get up at my usual very early time anyway. So here's what my brain decides. Let's get up 15 minutes earlier than our alarm would go off. Just naturally. And I say, well, but I'm going to bed like 40 minutes later. So what's up with that? My brain, that part of me says, I don't know, just woke up. And I say, well, can I get to bed? Well, you could try to get back to sleep. Yeah, you don't even have an alarm set, huh? So that's what I'm dealing with this week. But I'm dealing with it. I say, maybe I'll take a nap. I don't know. Maybe I got enough sleep anyway. Maybe I'll try to go to bed earlier. But I make the show because I've been there in all those situations, and it's frustrating, right? You can probably hear it in my voice, even though that one is like not as bad as not being able to fall asleep or waking up, whatever it is that's going on with you, it's important. And it's not allowing you to get the sleep you need. And what I believe is you do deserve a good night's sleep. And not only that, that the world will be a better place with you resting in it. Your world, your personal world will be better. You'll probably be better equipped with everything you come in contact with. And that does, I mean, it's not trite to say it. Like, that makes the entire world a better place. And the opportunity for you to flourish, having a reliable place of rest, that's really what we want. Isn't that what we all want? And that's what I want for you. Now, the catch with this show is that it just doesn't work for everybody. I mean, if this show even worked for like 50% of the people who listen to it, like I would not be, like I would actually already have like some proxy doing this show. I would be on a yacht somewhere. So I do wish it worked for everybody. It's just this show's a little bit different. If it doesn't work for you, I mean, test out different stuff. I like a two fan, like I have an air purifier that's pretty loud when it's on high, and a box fan. That's one thing I try. Then I'll try something else, and I'll try an app. I'll listen to an empty bowl, or try to test out another sleep podcast. Or I'll meditate, or I'll go for a walk. I'll sit outside. But hopefully sleep with me can become your bedtime, your boyfriend. That's really the role I'm applying for. Your boar bud, your boar sib, your boar bae, your boar bestie. I'm here to keep you company and be at your side. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much it. Usually these intros kind of go into a much longer ramble. But I really just want to help you fall asleep if I can. So if you like, give it a few tries and see how it goes, because I really appreciate you checking the show out. I appreciate your time. I work hard, and I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, it's time for a story. You know, we've visited the universe of Cloud Tower a few times in a couple episodes over the past few years. But I heard a tale when I was up there. You know, I can access it. You know, the easiest way to access the secret of success is pronouncing access. But if you're ever wondering how to get a little bit of a taste of life at Cloud Tower, that's the world above the clouds. It doesn't get any press. It doesn't get, you know, there's like a... I don't know if there's any other works of fiction celebrating that world, because people say, I don't see it when I'm in a plane or on radar or any, you know, Google Eye or whatever it's called doesn't show it. I say, okay, well, I don't know. I don't remember Alice in Wonderland asking any of these questions, but these are good questions. So I'll tell you right now, in spring or summer or fall, possibly in winter, you could just lie down and you kind of get comfortable. Maybe you could imagine you're doing it right now in your bed. And this nice, comfortable grass. Maybe there's a blanket, a comfortable one between you and the grass, because you say, oh, that's nice. And there's a tree offering you a comforting shade. The air is just warm enough. The breeze is keeping the air moving, but it's a warm breeze, not a hot breeze. You know, the hot air only scoots will provide. And you could look up there in the sky, maybe through the branches of the trees, and start to wonder. You might even wah-wah wonder at what's going on up there, way up in the clouds, where, you know, there's stuff going on up there. There's a whole world. You know, we've only visited the transportation hub, back in the day on those episodes. But I heard this story about a simple road trip, which was hands down. I said, I got to make a podcast about this because I said, well, this is interesting to me. It was a tale of a few youth, Cloud Tower youth, whose names I'll change now and try to think of. Fluffernutter was one of them. Shay Shees was another. And Carl was a third. And then those are the names I just thought of to change their names. And they were cloud, CBYs, I called them, cloud-based youth, or youth-based cloud-based youth, they were in the... They're in that strange phase of life for a cloud or anyone where some would say you're an adult, but, you know, you've crossed over the entryway. There's a fancier word for it, into the world of adulthood. But that's just, it's foisted on you. And clowns don't like foisting, but it, you know, it's a part of the process. We all are familiar with it. You see, you're a grown up now, and you're in the world of grown up things, and or you're almost in the world of grown. In this case, it was almost in the world of grown up things. They were all training together, learning. As part of this world, it has a pretty, trying to give a short version, but, you know, they were in a higher education, it's kind of a liberal arts type feel, like a broad-based thing, preparing them, but also learning tangible things at the same time. So they knew that, you know, in some worlds, courage was confused with other things, like braggadocio and those. So they're trying to teach people tangible things so they'd feel comfortable in their own clouds. And so these four youths, maybe whose names will escape me, they knew that just pending was their release into for a cloud, into the big air, the big sky, the whole world up there, whatever. I don't know if it's the stratosphere or the mesosphere. I have no idea. You know, and maybe a train, you know, say, well, I always thought I was an alto cumulus. And they said, well, that's what you always dreamed of, eh? Or this is when you'd be younger. I want to be a thunderhead. I say, well, every thunderhead starts out, you know, but yada, 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 evaporative, you know, I don't know. Maybe we say, well, does it start out as H2O, or was I, you know, just a hydrogen, two hydrogen and oxygen, or one hydrogen and two oxygen? Where did it all begin? And these four young people, they were getting ready for that transition. And they wanted to have one last fun time, you know. They were on a break from school. And the relationship-wise, so who was there? It was Shay and Fluff, we'll call them for short. And they were friends. They had been friends through all of higher ed. They had even lived and worked together in the summer times. You know, they were really close. And then they had a third friend. Sigrid was friends with the other person whose name I forgot, the other cloud-based CBY, cloud-based youth, or cloud-based being. It's both. You can be both, obviously. I'll just say Zay, because I can't think of... So Zay was friends with both Shay, well, that's nice that it rhymes, and Fluff. And then on the other side was Sigrid, who was kind of friendly. Everyone was friends, but just the closeness factor was not. But out of all of them, Shay was the one who was the most extroverted, confident in a positive confidence, and because Shay had such confidence, that they would they were comfortable venturing out and pushing people, not foisting them, but saying, "Hey, why don't we try something outside our comfort zone?" And they all said, "Okay." So one day, Shay said, "I'd like to have a talk to the four of us. I'd like to have a meeting." And they said, "What's up?" And Shay said, "Well, I have this idea. You know, we have this break coming up, and, you know, we're getting ready to transition into this world of mature clouds. And, you know, like, I think we should have one last good time, a little bit outside our comfort zone, though." And then they got distracted because the fourth person, Sigrid, said, "Well, what about... radio, like, if you get," and then there was a long talk about radio, and then Sigrid said, "Okay, back to you, Shay, you take back over." And Fluff was the quietest. Fluff was the tallest and most physically attractive and imposing cloud. And not, well, not really imposing. The kind of a dreamy cloud. You'd say, wow, that fluff doesn't say much, but projects some, you know. And then, as we talked about, Shay was kind of, had all the qualities. Kind of someone most people would have been jealous of if Shay wasn't just so kind and charming. And then Zay was just a good friend. Really, I mean, a lot of other positive qualities, but funny, kind, driven and focused, but not in a way that impacted Zay's friends. And then Sigrid was, you know, a little bit like someone that would make a podcast or you know, like a little bit different, but still a good friend and a different sense of humor. But they were all friends. And so eventually they said, Sigrid said, cue back to you, Shay. Tell us what the plan is. And Shay said, well, are you familiar with these kind of jet streams that people talk about, the rivers of air in the upper atmosphere that go through? And, you know, we've learned so much about them. And we've even done some traveling. But Shay said, and we're not equipped to just go out there and just travel on a jet stream. It takes a proper cloud, you know, equipment and all those things. But Shay said, I have an uncle who's looking to move it's tough to explain, but, you know, there's cloud-based beings, and then there's, for generalization, CBE, cloud-based equipment, or structures, CBS, you could say. I don't think they would say that. They'd say, biscuits, please. And I said, well, that was a... So cloud-based CBO, that's still cloud-based stuff, I was going to say. And so Shay's uncle had a cloud-based thing that had like what would be the equivalent of on Earth, maybe a ship or a boat or a car or a dirigible, a little bit different than a dirigible or a balloon. What are those things called? An airship. But similar to those things, a large form of transport. And Shay said, well, my uncle's got to relocate this. They called it the Ziffer, from not that far off, somewhere we could get to somewhere where it's nice and warm and sunny. And, you know, we're going to be out in the open jet stream, out in the open air. We'll be working for my uncle just for a few days. And then we could stay on the Ziffer and enjoy, like, this was somewhere, you know, down where the air is even warmer and pleasurable. And maybe there's even pockets of air pocket, you know, moist air pockets. So kind of like swimming and kind of like their ocean, great views. And at first, there was like, you gotta be kidding me. This sounds awesome. And, you know, Fluff just didn't say much, said, sounds cool. Cool. I'm in. And then, Zay said, wow, this sounds great, really. Like, so do we have a plan, and how much is this going to cost? Shay said, we'll be free. Like, it's almost like we're getting to stay on there for free by helping relocate it. And Sigrid said, well, I'm not so sure about this, you know, like, what about, and they said, don't worry, like, it's not like like the humans have their airships. Ours are, big and puffy and wide. So there's places to lie down and relax. And it's going to be we'll learn so much. We'll become closer friends. We'll have an adventure. Then we'll have a vacation. What could be better? And everyone said, okay, great. And so then they prepared. And, you know, they had to journey to where the Ziffer was. And they met Shay's uncle, Breeze. And they'd also said, well, we don't know anything about zippers or anything like that. And Shay said, don't worry, my uncle will be working with some professionals, and we'll just be the crew. And they said, okay, sounds good. But when they got down to meet Uncle Breeze said, well, you know what? I found out that we were going to be the crew and there was going to be a captain, but I'm going to be the captain now. Captain Breeze, and you'll be my crew. And we're just going to take a simple journey. We're going to come out of this little pocket we're in here, and we're going to get into the jet stream. We're going to take the jet stream for 36 hours, and then we'll arrive at what is known as Paradise Cove up here in the clouds. You know, that's where Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer vacations. You know, we'll pass the arms of Morpheus. It's going to be, you know, legend. You know, these are high-altitude birds. We'll probably even see some humans flying. They won't recognize us for anything more than puffy water vapor, but we know better. And they said, okay. And one other thing was that Uncle Breezy was a little bit disorganized, didn't quite have their act together. But they said, you know, everybody was confident. They said, no, you know, nothing to be concerned about. We're going on an adventure. Don't forget that, Shay said. And the next morning, bright and early, they got up and they got on to the Zephyr. They had slept, maybe they had slept on the Zephyr. I guess they had. And they got up, they had some breakfast, and they headed out, and they were in this big, big cove. I don't know what it was called. Tubertown. That's right. Thank you. And it took a few hours just to get out of Tubertown, and they all took turns kind of learning how you steer an airship. Even if it's made of clouds, it's a slow-moving thing, and the breeze was fresh, and the sun was shining. They said, wow, we're really on the beginnings of an adventure, eh? And the uncle said, oh, yes, we are. We'll be carried by the jet stream. You know, we do have an engine and we have a sail very similar to a boat, but mostly we're just going to be cruising. And they even saw some high-flying raptors that looked at them, and it was like something out of the movies. They were slapping each other, cloud fives, and dancing and smiling, and it was really, really. And then they headed out of the cove there, Tubertown, out into the larger jet stream. And as they got out there, the Uncle Breezy and Shay said, you know, we want to learn while we're out here. You know, this isn't just an adventure. You know, if we just got in the jet stream and we headed down there, it wouldn't really be, you know, it wouldn't be much. We would just be you know, it would just be a relaxation. You're going to relax when you get there. So we've prepared some things for you and the other three cloud-based CBYs. And the other three CBYs said, okay. And then Uncle Breezy said, are you familiar with Venus and Bacchus and their stories? And everyone kind of just stared at them and said, huh. I'm sorry. And they said, you know, Bacchanalian, and then Breezy said, okay, I'll have to come up with something different. And Breezy said, for your opener, for the opening thing, we're going to not use any more of the engine. You know, this has a solar power based, you know, I don't know if it converts ions or something. Uncle Breezy said, no, we're not going to use it. So shut off the engine. So what should we do if we don't have an engine power? We're in the jet stream. We're flowing with the jet stream. In your brief time, you know, what did you learn? And they said, well, we should put up some of those sails. Now, this particular airship had two sails. So it didn't look like a, like it looked like more like, so if, I don't know if you've ever gone to a sushi restaurant, right? And they have these gigantic sushi boats, like the Sushi Deluxe boat. And sometimes those are wooden and they're pretty wide. You see, well, I've never seen a boat that wide before, but it's meant to look like a boat. Like that's what the top of the airship, where the people are on the airship looks. But then the bottom of it looks like a puffy cloud, like an airship with a flat boat top almost. Because it's a cloud and not a helium or hydrogen balloon. And then you could go down and sleep below inside the cloud. You know, when you're a cloud, it's a different, you have a different relationship with, you know, all things that we were human. It's tough for us humans to understand it, but you could, we could kind of create a, you know, line of an example. So it's structured differently, but so if you're just on the surface, it kind of seems like you're on the deck of a ship, but it's much wider and calmer and more roomy and balanced. Like it gives you a sense of, you just stay relaxed because you see, oh, there's plenty of space here. Holy moly. But it also has these two masts for sails or a third thing in the front. I don't know if it's a spinnaker or whatever. So they said, well, let's put up the sails. So then Uncle Breezy said, okay, that sounds like a good idea. If we don't have an engine, let's put up the sails and go by the power of the wind. And so they put up the mainsail, and the boat began to move under, like, and it gave it purpose. They said, okay, now where we can control where we are in the jet stream here and be a little bit more intentional. And then they put up the next, the second sail, a little bit smaller, a little bit towards the back. And they said, okay, let's do that one. That sounds good. And so there they were. And then like Uncle Breezy said, okay, now we're traveling, right? And we're being propelled by the wind and the jet stream. We're traveling in the jet stream. A few hours had passed by, but then they were again, like, taken. This wasn't the first time, you know, they had tested out in Tubertown using the sails. And then Uncle Breezy said, what about Dr. Hoomst? Anybody familiar with Dr. Hoomst? And they said, Doctor Who? That's what Sigrid said. You mean Doctor Who? The you know, what's one of my favorite human... HBE, human-based entertainment, and Uncle Breezy, Dr. Breezy, we could even call him, said, no. That's like the concept of who is the who are the doctors among us? Whomst will help us solve, you know, one another, golden rule, empathy, compassion. And they all said, oh, that sounds interesting. And then unexpectedly, the weather changed and the wind started to pick up quite a bit, even there in the upper atmosphere. And at first everyone was, and Uncle Breezy said, don't worry, we'll lower down the mainsail there and we'll just continue with the back sail. And so they did that, and the boat started to move a little bit slower, and then it still had some purpose. And then Uncle Breezy said, well, here's something unexpected. And then the spinnaker, the whatever foresail, it came away from its moorings and actually filled up with air. And it caused them to kind of, like, the boat to kind of move, you know, move without purpose, because it was just under the control of the wind. It wasn't tied to anything. And so then they had to send Shay, and Shay kind of cut the sail loose, and they said, okay, that was good. That was Shay's idea. Very, very good improv. And then they said, look around. And then they looked around, and they realized that where they were in the jet stream, They were surrounded, you know, it was like a stream, like there was clouds on either side, but they were like in a river of perfectly clear atmosphere. And it was cloudy banks, and it was really beautiful. There was even clouds above them. And again, they just were going by this one back sail, and they'd even lowered it a little bit because they said, well, it's even a little bit too windy for us. Let's go a little bit slower. And then Uncle Breezy said, okay, let's test out another idea. So we're going just by the back sail. What if we were to take apart this mainsail? And actually, they took it apart. They took the boom from the mast and the sail. And they used them to, like, they played a game, like, a bit like, it looked like giant Q-tips. It was some strange cloud-based game. Humans, I guess you would say, what are they, just chasing each other around and tickling each other with giant Q-tips that used to be a boom and a mast? And that was a few hours of giggling and chasing each other. And I think that's what they were actually doing, but I'm not positive. But again, I guess like they're more comfortable if they say, well, we'll chase each other around and tickle each other. Subtext or not, we're happy with it. And so they were all like tired, and they said, oh boy, like this has been a full day. It was the evening and night had set. And they said, well, we've learned a full thing. We've kind of had these challenges, but still we're heading in this jet stream. And we have this back sail. And so they said, okay, now we're going to take turns guiding the ship in the night. And you just guide it by the compass. They had a very similar to a compass, except it was a glowworm. I don't know. They basically looked like a compass with a dome and things, but instead of north, south, east, or west, there's just like this glowworm. And I think you initially whisper to the glowworm where you want to go, but you actually have to do like your something similar to like longitude and latitude. You can't say take me, you know, to this zip code. The glowworm doesn't know that. So they had just told the glowworm basically head in the general direction, because this was another thing Uncle Bruce said, well, like, and notice we don't know exactly where we're going other than in the jet stream and generally sticking to it. Maybe we should just do that until the sun comes up again, and then we'll and just see where things are in the morning. We'll take turns while we rest, because we're so tired from tickling one another with puffy Q-tips. And so they all agreed, and they agreed that they would take shifts, taking turns, watching the sea, and keeping an eye, like you say, okay, like one person will watch just the glowworm, because it's kind of hypnotic, and just steer the ship in line with where the glowworm is saying the direction to go. And another person will, you know, make sure you don't fall asleep and keep an eye out in general, more broader awareness. And it was raining on and off. It had started raining even up there in the upper. I don't know when rain starts to go upward or downward or sideways, but it could have been doing all those things. But it was there in the deep, dark night that they really found that it was like the vastness, like they could see the stars sometimes, and sometimes it was cloudy above them. So they could see the vastness of space above. And I guess this is something humans, we really don't really get unless we're in like a transparent plane. So maybe only Wonder Woman has had this experience. But they could see the vastness below sometimes too. Sometimes it was cloudy below, and sometimes the jet stream was clear. Sometimes they are passing over, you know, populated parts of continents, and sometimes it was, you know, not as over ocean. And so there was constellations of light below. And they weren't moving, you know, it's not like they were in a jet plane. I don't know the exact speed of the jet stream with one half sail up. But that's about the speed they were going. And, you know, they noticed as they were taking turns every few hours, switching on and off. And then they also noticed it was like they were tired, but it's also strange to sleep when you're out there in the big, puffy world, as we said, and knowing this vastness. Even though they had this nice, comfortable Ziffer they were traveling on, that it was a little bit, I mean, for them, it was real, and they were living a metaphor, like the vastness of the world awaited them, too. And I don't know if that was Uncle Breezy or Shay preparing them to say, well, sometimes it's just not comfortable, right? But they all had an opportunity to talk about it. So soon they found themselves in and out of sleep saying, huh, this is a strange experience here at sea. They called it at sea, at cloud, I guess is a technical term. And we've kind of given up our mainsail and our engine. And like, oh, is that like it feels like an adventure, but also it feels good and not good at the same time. But because they were having a shared experience, they were able to confirm it with, oh, yes, I could see you feel that way, or I feel this way, which is similar. But in my own words, it might sound different to you. And then they would experience it, go back on the deck of the Ziffer and experience it again. And then they would start talking to the glowworm about it. Even though the glowworms in this case, not like these Hollywood glowworms, you know, you hear all about back in the 80s that, you know, got all the glory and then got rebooted probably a few times. Probably could use one time, you know, if I was a smart speaker manufacturer, opportunity for a good night friend. But anyway, these glowworms were working glowworms. And again, don't try to project Earth-based EBUs onto this. Kind of like in a form of like a high-focused, what do you call that when you're sleeping? But like a high-focused sleep or something, like a suspended state of, not a suspended state of animation, but something different that we don't experience here on Earth. The only thing would be like hibernation, but that's different, which I couldn't think of. It took me 3 minutes to think of that word. But so the glowworms were mostly just, again, another place for them to project. But the constant glow of the glowworm against all of the night, and the fact that the glowworm consisted of colors that could be were more comforting, you know, like hot neon pinks and greens and blues, compared to the colder stars in the sky. Or the ones on Earth, you see, well, you know, LED or incandescent or whatever the other ones are, it's phosphorus, I don't know what the heck they're called, they all have a different spectrum on them. They're not as warm as the light of a glowworm. One of these youth would probably write a book by that. But so they could sit with the glowworm and say, glowworm, you know, maybe some of the other youth were asleep. They say, glowworm, something about all this that is unsettling, but yet stirring something in me. And do you know what I'm feeling, glowworm? In the simplicity of just steering by the glowworm helped. But it may have also given them the discomfort that they started to all do that for a while as the night wore on. And I think they were just traveling. I don't know what direction they're traveling, if they're traveling into the night or out of the night. Because I don't know if they're using the jet stream that gets all the love in the U.S. Again, if you're saying Hollywood glowworm, you might have to say Hollywood jet stream, too. You say, oh, you're Western jet stream, you know, and I say, okay, well, I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure because I was only up in the clouds for this story. I couldn't see. In my geography is like I have a U.S.-based geography knowledge. But so at the end, as they were all sleeping, they heard Uncle Breezy, Dr. Breezy, was up on the deck of the Zephyr with Zay. And Dr. Breezy said, "Zay," and everyone was kind of, again, listening and sleeping, "are you ready?" And Zay said, "For what?" And Dr. Breezy said, "Well, dawn's here. Maybe we should start steering the ship in a more specific direction. Like, maybe I could look at my charts and figure out where we are." And Zay said, "You don't, Dr. Breezy, you don't know where we are?" Dr. Breezy said, "Well, we've been traveling for about 10 hours, just generally headed in the same direction as the jet stream. So I don't really know." And then Zay said, "Dr. Breezy, I'm noticing I'm not, I don't feel like I'm controlling and steering the ship anymore. The Zephyr kind of seems to be just moving on its own." And Dr. Breezy said, "Let me try." And then Dr. Breezy said, "Shay, you better get up here and check things out." And Dr. Breezy said to the youth, after everyone was awoken and brought up to the deck of the Zephyr, "Now we try to manage without being able to steer. What do we do now? We're in the jet stream, and we're moving, and like, what do you think we should do?" And at first, you know, they'd been through a night of, with the vastness of the universe and their impending adulthood, these existential questions that clouds asked themselves. They had talked to the glowworm, and they'd also heard, like, "We don't even really know where we are. You know, was this like some sort of, like, part of their brain was willing to accept that this was a metaphorical experience, and part of their brain was like, how can an actual experience also be such an apt metaphor?" So they actually discussed that for a while. And they said, "Well, if we can't really, we might as well bring the sail down, because the back sail, because if we can't really steer, we don't really need that, obviously, because we're just drifting in the jet stream." Then they tried, they went through and kind of tried to think about different songs that would be apt for, you know, if they could think up songs drifting in the jet stream. But they realized that there's probably a lot of pop songs about that. And so they said, "Well, what shall we do? Shall we drift? Or not?" And it was Shay who said, "You know, we should throw down a slowdown, you know, a heavy cloud," they called it, "a cloud of heavy water, and slow or stop our movement." And Dr. Breezy said, "What do you all think about that?" And Fluffy or Puffy and Seagreed and Sea Green or whatever, Zay said, "Yeah, okay, sounds good." So then Shay went to the front of the deck of the thing and threw the heavy water cloud overboard, similar to an anchor. But after they threw it, they realized, oh, the anchor was not attached to the Zephyr. Which was another lesson. That was Dr. Breezy's lesson to learn, that you probably should keep your heavy water slower down or attached to your ship. So that went over, and then they said, what is this? What kind of life lessons is this Dr. Breezy trying to teach us? And they said, okay, well, now we're fully adrift. We have like a little rowboat, heavy, like for our, we can throw that overboard and that'll like barely slow us down a tiny bit. But Dr. Breezy said, you know, what are we going to do? And then the lessons had progressed because the youth had had gotten to the end of Dr. Breese's, they said, but Dr. Breese, you didn't have your heavy water slowed down or attached to your boat. And you don't know, weren't you going to look up where we were? And Dr. Breese said, I don't really know how to do that. As a matter of fact, I thought I had, you know, a glowbot, which talks to the glowworm, and it's not a, it's not charged. And they said, Dr. Breezy, that's like not acceptable. And they said, we're not really having tiny muses, which is a term there for when you sing and you take over captaining of the ship. They call it a tiny muse, because there's a special Tiny Muse song. But they said, yeah, collectively, the four of us are going to use our collective knowledge and not use yours. You could take a secondary role now. And, of course, Dr. Breezy smiled knowingly to Dr. Breezy's self. But the cloud-based youth did not know that at the time. And they said, well, what are we going to do here? And they said, by the way, Dr. Breese, you're our advisor, though, so don't, you know, if you pipe up if you know anything. And they said, well, we don't know where we are, and we don't know where we're going other than generally somewhere. We don't have control of our destination. And then we have these layovers from all the vastness from last night. So we're unsettled, but in this case, that was a good thing, right? They were unsettled in an empowered way, and they were unsettled with the supposed leadership of Dr. Breezy. And so they said, what are our options here? What are our options? And they said, well, you know, we did the Tiny Muses thing, But it sounds like we're trying to get help from Dr. Breezy, who's not super helpful, except in a general way. I think it's time to ask for help, like a broader help. And up in the cloud world, obviously, the arms Morpheus and the arms of Morpheus are what live in the cloud tower. Or also are the cloud tower, overlooking all things in the cloud world. I'm sure there are other higher beings up there. But they said, we're always, you know, one thing we kind of forgot last night is up here in the cloud world, we're always in the embrace of the arms of Morpheus. Awake or sleep, that, you know, when we go to sleep, we're supposed to remember that, but we didn't really sleep good last night, so we forgot that. But also in our belief system, you know, also for real, Morpheus is a tangible being and system. So we just have to ask Morpheus and Morpheus's representatives for help. And so everyone, Zipher was required. To have three ways to contact Morpheus Cloud Tower, actually. Well, two ways to contact Cloud Tower, the main way. And they said, Dr. Breezy, can we use the main way to contact Cloud Tower? And they tried that for a few hours, but they were getting no response. And they said, Dr. Breezy, aren't you required to have a secondary backup to get a hold of Cloud Tower? And Dr. Breezy said, not only do I have one brand new in the box, a portable one. And they opened the box and they said, Dr. Breezy, when you buy a brand new portable, Cloud Tower contact system, the batteries don't come charged in the box. And Dr. Breezy said, oh boy, you're right. So they said, okay, that won't work. So then the third option was just this magical tube that had that you would sing into, and all of them had to stand on the deck of the Zipher, except they didn't include Dr. Breezy. And they sang into it, and they kind of sing this special song where you call to Morpheus. You say, please, it translates into, please embrace me. Or, oh, Morpheus, if sometimes I forget, you kind of, these are different parts of it. You know, the vastness of the world is all contained in your embrace, which can also just contain your arms around me in a warm hug. That makes me feel safe, and I can ask you to pat my back if needed, which I could use right now, oh Morpheus. Please hold me in your loving embrace. And also, we're asking for a hug because we want to ask for more help, because right now we don't feel adrift, we are adrift, and we could use some guidance. And of course, Morpheus responded, and Morpheus said, like, hug one another for now. And they said, how could we forget that? And so they hugged and held one another, and even Dr. Breezy, they embraced one another. Morpheus said, wait, help will arrive. And eventually, these other cloud, like smaller cloud-based Zephyrs came and said, hey, we're here from Morpheus. We heard you were adrift and you were trying out an adventure. And they said, you're not an adventure with Dr. Breezy, eh? They said, what did you learn on your adventure? And they said that, you know, they kind of, to sum it up, they said, well, an adventure's a mix of things, good and outside of good, what you would define as good or pleasurable. It's exciting, it's tiring, sometimes you don't know, it's not easy, that a lot of times in the midst of the adventure, you forget the simpler principles of Morpheus, and that, but also that it's like, wow, that is a thing. Morpheus embraces a thing, so is the vastness of all things. And that sometimes you got to ask for help, and reach out for help, or provide help and comfort to one another's. And sometimes you got to do all those things. And they said, great, well, we'll take you to your vacation now. And they said, well, can't we just turn everything on that Dr. Breezy? They said, well, Dr. Breezy was giving you only a 10% of that test was intentional. But a lot of it was just accidental genius of Dr. Breezy. And so they headed off, actually in this case, into the sunset. And they rested and they were changed forever. But it was like a lesson, again, they would have to keep learning. But in those times, they could remember, they could hold themselves, they could ask to be held. They could remember their being held within the vastness of things just by being there and breathing and imagining the presence of Morpheus. Yeah, but they also knew, oh, okay. Always ask for help. Adventures can be uncomfortable, but we're also okay. And they rested so well that night, and then they had a brilliant time. A vacation for the ages, those four cloud-based youth. Good night. All right, I wanted to thank everybody who supported the show recently on Patreon. Sarah, Nick, and Heather, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Miriam, Jake, and Sarah with a no H. Thanks, and good night. Ryan, Yavuz, and Linda, thanks, and good night. Deborah, Rosie, and Lydia, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Scott, Megan, and Elizabeth, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Allison, Z, and Jessica, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Evan, Stephen with a V, and Stephen with a PH in a row. Thanks, and good night. Barb, Jack, and Allison, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Faith, Ross, and Hannah, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Charlie, Warwick, and Jenna. Thank you. Thanks. Good night. Michael, T, and Amy. Thank you. And good night. Darcy, Rebecca, and Rex. Thank you. And good night. Witchfinder, Susan, and Emma. Thank you. And good night. LDL, Alyssa, and Zach. Thanks. And good night. Layden, Jasmine, and Kim. Thanks. And good night. Whitney, Croy, and Jay. Thank you. And good night. Dawn and Mary. Thank you. And good night. And Aaron and Eli. Thank you. And good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon. It's a huge, huge help. Super League exists as a free podcast because the people that support the show, you know, directly on Patreon or via sponsors. So I really, really appreciate that. We grow as a podcast because people that share the show in person and online with the people in their lives or let people know about podcasts. So I greatly appreciate that as well. And speaking of letting you know about podcasts, let me let you know about one right here. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season 1 part 2, almost 6 hours. That's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd all intro episode came out, and then we had March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53. Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix, so that's cool. So, that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode one of that, or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.